Blog Talk Radio.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Yes, it is not your imagination. It is really me back here again with you all. It is Saturday night. You know, it would be really exciting if I could sit here and do a roll call for a Saturday night edition. Otherwise, it would be really fun to do. Unfortunately, there's only one of me, and I'm it for tonight. So it will not be any returning guests or special guest stars or musical acts tonight. Today, it's me giving back to you guys and talking with you guys about various topics, subjects, and whatnot. So I'm not planning on having a guest here tonight. Reason being, I got to catch you guys up to what's going on and what's been going on. Let you guys first and foremost understand why I wasn't here really this week and why it's kind of been a dormant thing all this week. And I apologize for that. You know, when I got the little notification thing that my little podcast here, this podcast, the one you're listening to right now, is the that I produce by far 99% more original new content than anyone else in my category. You know, other than the fact that I'm curious what the heck category I actually fit into, since I can pretty much sit everywhere. But anyway, you know, ever since then, I've been really, you know, excited and very honored that that my work ethic, you know, carries over into a podcast that I would outshine everybody else in my supposed category. That's kind of cool. Have to excuse me. I am eating some brownies that I had made because my son's coming over in preparation for the World Cup tomorrow. For those people out there who aren't aware, who lived under a rock, currently FIFA, the World Cup, is currently going on right now. That is why pretty much anyone who is trying to watch their regularly scheduled programs are probably frustrated with football. As I call football, football, because I grew up with it being football. Soccer, that's for the American audience. I did play football, a.k.a. soccer, for a number of years, all throughout high school, in fact. And I did rather well in it, you know, multiple-time Pride Award winner and multiple other things. So I'm very much proud of those things. Let's chat about the World Cup, shall we? Sue, let's kick things off with that, I guess. So the World Cup finals is tomorrow, as I mentioned, as I was beginning to anyway. So my son's coming over tonight after he gets out of work, as he and my wife always make a habit of watching the World Cup, the finals for FIFA. And tomorrow morning, it'll be Argentina versus France. So that should be an interesting game. France, of course, is the reigning champions of FIFA since the last one. And, of course, Argentina is the opposite side. I've talked to some people today and fellow football players and football enthusiasts, and they are rooting for France as well. Yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, there was some very interesting, you know, if I'm being honest, I'm a little surprised by the finals, if I'm being honest. I would have expected some other teams to be in here rather than these two. But, hey, you know what? Hard work, dedication, iron will, teamwork is what brings you to the World Cup. And that's what brings you to the finals, ultimately. A lot of people will be quick to, you know, blame it on referees or blame it on bad calls or whatever. And fact of the matter is, it's just, you know, listen, it's a sport. Sometimes you win and sometimes you lose. And it's easier to blame your faults on someone else rather than just you came up a little short. Soccer in the long term, or football, is a sport in which you're not going to see like a blowout score. You're not going to, you know, tune in like you see a basketball game or even an American football game, because, you know, generally speaking, you know, it's a score is a 1 point, and it's probably closer to hockey, if you would. So you're not going to see a lot of goals or pointage. It's going to come to a very low scoring thing. You know, it's very rare for teams to go into double digits in a soccer or a football game, much like in hockey, American hockey or ice hockey. You don't go that far because you don't go that long because, as easy as it looks to kick the ball into that giant net, it's a lot harder than it looks. And a lot of people think that it, you know, it can't be that hard and whatnot, when reality is, it's really not. So I'm very excited for tomorrow, and I'm always excited to see my son like that. As tonight also, we're going to be chatting about when we're going to be announcing the 2023 Jazz and Suns Hall of Fame for Dream Masters, which actually is exciting because now I can actually transition into that. Mm-mm. So, first and foremost, what I wanted to, first say is that I announced some people earlier. The last couple of weeks, I've been announcing a little bit of my roster here and there. And, you know, we've had some show in between that, which had some pretty big outcomes. So let's chat about it real quick. So for those people who are not aware, who missed our show on the 14th, there was supposed to be a, you know, Jazz Fitness, the YouTube sensation Jazz Fitness, the leader of Hollywood Fitness, has made it clear that he cannot share the same broadcasting system as yours truly, the F4L icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. And so the challenge went out that he and the Hollywood Fitness, that's his group of himself, Freddie Prinze Jr., Seth Green, and Macaulay Culkin, would challenge me and the F4L to a team warfare match, a very specific team warfare match, having to do with in the style of an Iron Team. It's an Iron Men team warfare match. So it wasn't just, you know, regular. So a team warfare match, for us, you guys don't know, is a team of four take on another team of four, and who, you know, wherever the last person or last team standing will win. We just had a whole tournament back in November about the whole concept. But this was a different kind of a scenario. This is a different kind of a different type of stipulation, where it would not be elimination. It would be whichever team, you know, knocked in the most pinfalls or submissions would be the winner. And the winner would, you know, their captain would stay on the team. Ultimately, people were fighting to keep their captains on the team and on the show. And ultimately, Jazz Fitness, of course, you know, Macaulay Culkin, Seth Green, Freddie Prinze Jr., you know, they kind of figured out, you know, loopholes in certain things, and they started targeting people leading up to the 14th by attacking various members of the F4L, trying to leave it so that I wouldn't have anyone to team up with. First, they tried injuring the Viking Juggalos, that's Triple D and Sleepy Bear, and then they tried to injure Walker Campbell the very same day of the show. Walker Campbell, who was very much going to step up and be part of the team as he has done in the past, he came out to do a song for Washington, D.C., which is where the 14th show took place from during our holiday blitz. And, that was when Freddie Prinze Jr., Macaulay Culkin attacked them like savages, attacked Walker Campbell 2-on-1 and putting him on the shelf. So with the last minute, in the last minute, you know, through, you know, last minute little put together, I was very fortunate enough and honored to, you know, team up with our newest FYL brothers in real life and on the show as two former guests on the show, JoJo the Bodybuilder and Philip Ricardo Jr. stepped up to the plate, the legends, the United States Tag Team Champions, stepped up. And, of course, the other part was if someone was already on our show in a match, they would be, you know, unable to also join me in this this match. So fortunately, we got to go. I had to go reach out to all the way across the pond to our little friend Noah, the Nightmare Time Doll, who was nice enough to fill in for Walker. And he was our MVP, really. And in talking with Philip Ricardo Jr., even, he even said that, you know, Noah really crushed it in his big return. Noah was on our show a number of years ago when we first started this concept. And then sometimes in, as time goes on, people fluctuate. And in 2023, the Nightmare is returning to full action. And I think it's going to be something that I think he's going to be someone to keep an eye on this coming year in 2023. And he's going to give a run for the money for the MMA Grand Prix Championship, the VA Championship, could even qualify for the European Championship, really. Really, the sky's the limit for the young man from Liverpool. So Noah, Noah the Nightmare, I am in conversation right now. We're going to bring him on this podcast. He's going to be joining me here, the young man from Liverpool. And also, we're going to try to do another watch-along and see if Noah and some other guys will be joining us for that. That would be a lot of fun. I know Jaden Brooks, the current United States champion, is also planning on joining. So you got Noah the Nightmare and Jaden Brooks, and we'll see if who else we can get to be part of that. So, you know, every year – I always try to, you know, do something different to introduce new people, people who I believe in, people who I think have a lot of potential in life as a whole, people who I dub real-life dream masters and dream warriors. Because as I mentioned before, the women are just as important as the men and can be just as tough as the men. So we're very proud of them. And we're proud of everyone who is going to be part. Sorry, folks, I was just touching base. All right, so we are very excited as we have some new stars coming to join other than just Noah. And Noah's going to be bring a big part, I think, in 2023. But there's going to be other people, too. And currently, we have everyone. I have several people built already. And I already announced a great deal of people who are already part of the roster in 2023. And I'm very excited because we're going to have some new people, some people you've never heard of, some people you probably should hear of. And little things here and there. So we're going to have some fun. I'm going to, first and foremost, I want to chat a little bit about some of the new people who are joining the roster. Starting with a young man who I've watched grow into the field of, when you say a super athlete, that's really what he is. It doesn't matter if it's football, baseball, wrestling, he is a all-around athlete. 10 years old, I think he might be a little older now, and he's joining the roster in 2023. As you guys all know, we are huge on giving people an opportunity to grow and to inspire others, as we're always looking for new, exciting people, real life dream masters, if you would. So joining the roster is, you know, when you have a team of collectively of wrestlers and whatnot, and you have the best of the best, and you talk and you want to do something where you're going to feature real life athletes, then you need to look to the outs. You have to look all over the place. So some of the people you're going to hear about are people from around the world. So the first young man is a fantastic young man. His name is Easton. He comes from small town USA, of course. And he is a tremendous young man, and he's always putting a lot of work in. And boy, does he know about grit, let me tell you, this young guy. He's always getting the black eyes and everything because of his work ethic. Again, Greco-Roman wrestling, football, baseball, doesn't matter what the sport is, he can do it all. He's really, really talented at it. He has a hunger for it. And also, he does it for a humbling cause. He always does it for he's great. He understands the importance of friendship, the importance of teamwork. And, you know, he claims he's a beast, and I have to agree. He's definitely a beast when it comes to those things. You know, football, he's part of the Warriors football team. And, of course, another football player we have on our roster. We have several people who are on our roster. Who are football collegiate athletes. And Easton's going to be joining us in 2023 as part of our new initiative to bring in new people, new faces to the roster. And he has a he's raising some money for his school right now. And before I go forward, I wanted to do a quick little shout-out for his little thing. He's raising money for the Little Wings Varsity State 2023 Wrestling Fundraiser. I did make a donation myself earlier in the week. They have 6 days left, and, you know, they're looking for donations. And basically, I'm going to read this for you. Our athletes work hard to make Rockford in March. Make it to Rockford in March. The cost of hotels have increased significantly this year. We would like to help offset the family's out-of-pocket costs. Each participant has a monetary goal. Please consider donating for or sharing the social link so that they may be able to reach it. Thank you for your support. You know what? Why not, right? So, of course, we made a little bit of a donation, and I made, you know, because why not, right? Got to help them out somewhere. And I remember growing up, you know, always trying to achieve and whatnot. And when you're trying to reach a level and you're trying to, you know, travel all over the place, it does kind of add up and stuff like that. Now, when I used to do the tournaments up and down the East Coast back when I was younger, it was, you know, I rode with the sensei, and it was not as organized, I might say, as it is now. Because again, back when I was competing, you know, we didn't brag or talk about doing such things like wrestling or, you know, martial arts and whatnot. So, you know, this is a big thing, you know, and I think anyone who can help out, you know, the fundraiser or whatever, go to his page. You can go find him on Easton, Little Speedy EJ. Well, hold on, let me just tell you this proper thing. Hold on, I'll tell you the proper thing to go look for. You want to go check out Easton on there. It's Speedy Little E on Speedy Little E on Instagram. You can go find him there, and you can you know, find the link that you need to make a donation if you can. If you can't, you know, share the link. Give it some help, because, you know, it does cost. And, you know, that's a great opportunity for people to not only build, you know, a legacy for themselves and to work on their ethic and work on their own personal goals. Also gives them a way to kind of, I always find it important to, as I like to call, mingle with the people outside of their realm, people they sometimes might not get an opportunity to see on a regular basis. I think it's a great opportunity to grow and to meet other people, network, if you would, and to see, in, you know, you meet new friends and make, you know, lasting relationships. A lot of people don't understand that about sports in general. That's why I'm a big pro sports in general. I think sports are in general very important to development. I think they're very important to help, earn confidence, to learn various other important life lessons, teamwork, ethic, grit, dependability, responsibility, and I think that a lot of people who are rolling their eyes right now are people who have never played a sport or been dedicated to something before. But we support Easton, and we support all of our people in fulfilling all of their goals and dreams and whatnot. So let me go through this list currently of who we have currently on the roster returning in 2023. These are all confirmed. They've been built, and they are just awaiting. Some of these people, I've announced a lot of these people already. So some of you guys are like, well, wait a minute now. What about the other people? Well, you got to wait for those announcements, as we're only going to have a few slots left. So let's go over the returning roster for 2023's Icons of the F4L on YouTube in full. First, starting with the Dream Masters. That's our male roster. Anthony the Hunter Adele, Mason the Hammer Adele, Ty the Devil Adele, and of course Troy the Terror Adele. The Adele boys are back in 2023. Art the Clown, Bad Dad Derek, and Bad Lad Connor, the Badicles. Big Baby Jeebus, Jug Hagen. Of course, the Professional, David Hagen Jr. Brock in Boston, Chad White, Christian Convery, and also, as of this morning, Christopher Convery, the Convery Chess Club, returns as a whole. Cosplay Jesus and Father Evil, the Ministry, returns in 2023. Damian Payne and Philip Awesome, the Blood Brothers, also members of the Awesome Ones. Dan Keough, Dave Smith, and Ronnie Angle, the Bullies. Dane Cook, comedian extraordinaire. Ernie the Chicken from Quahog, Rhode Island. Number 13, Yesenia Verkovits, our current European champion. Yesenia Verkovits returning back in 2023. Freddie Prinze Jr., Macaulay Culkin, and Seth Green. They were Hollywood Fitness. I don't know if they're going to have any more Hollywood part of it or fitness part of it, because Jazz Fitness is not going to be returning in 2023. So I don't know what they're planning on doing, but they're coming back, and Jazz Fitness is not. I don't know how they're going to handle without having him there. Maybe they'll do better. Who knows? Number 27, Giannis Antetokounmpo, a member of the Awesome Ones, as well as Sean Awesome, the leader of the Awesome Ones. Grayson, the Super Duck Russell, our current reigning BA champion, and also undefeated. Henry and Hiram Menya, the Menya Boys, our current reigning Telenet Tag Team Champions. Herbert Finkel, Ivan the Dolphin Shark, Jack and Tim, the Lucky Ones, our current reigning Rock Icon Tag Team Champions. The Prodigy, Jackson R. Scott. The All-American, Jaden Brooks. And of course, the current reigning United States Tag Team Champions, JoJo the Bodybuilder, Philip Ricardo Jr., the Legends. KD Smooth, Leo the Bull Curtis, our current reigning, Leo the Bull Curtis. Lucas Royalty, new to the 2023 roster. Matty B, Mike OK, and Tristan Thanks of OK Thank You, as OK Thank You returns in 2023. Speaking of YouTube, Minty returns to action 2023. Mr. Hanky, the Christmas Pooh, can he be here all year round? We'll wait to see. Noah, the Nightmare Time Doll, as I already mentioned earlier. Pizza the Hut, Riley Simmons, the gymnast and current reigning Telenet champion. The rocker, the little punk rocker, I should say, Elliot Fulham. Sean Jazz Stevens, the leader of the F4L. Shaheem Blue, Statler and Waldorf. Tom Daly, Olympic diver, new to 2023. The rocker, Walker, sorry, the camp rocker, Walker Campbell, returns in 2023. Connor and Aiden Sharp, representing the Sharp Family Singers, returning to action in 2023. Of course, the Sharp Family making their debuts in 2023, first time ever. And then making his return to action for full-time 2023, Ronan. The Roninja Swenson from Small Town, USA. Making his debut in 2023 from the Soviet Russia, Sergei Yurkovich. I already mentioned Christopher Convery. The 2022 Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Eminem, returns to action as part of this smooth, part of Katie's Smooth Operators group, along with LeBron James, ladies and gentlemen, returning to action. Also, David Beckham makes his debut. Easton McDonnell, as I just mentioned. Evan Restiviero. It will be making his debut in 2023. And that is our male roster right now. We have a slot open for the Dream Masters. So there is still someone left to be added. We'll have to wait to find out who that's going to be. And now for the females returning to action and debuting in 2023. The Mama Bear, Angela Russell, current reigning women's BA champion. Lauren Lavera, the Warrior Princess. Becky Day. Angry Karen Brown. Bethy Page Dunn. DJ C. And Diana Stevens, they are your current reigning women's icon tag team champions. The current reigning and undefeated Telenet women's champion, the Duchess Lana King, returns in 2023. Also making their return in 2023 and continuing, I should say, is the Queens of Horror, Danielle Harris and Scout Compton Taylor Compton. They are also the Talk Scary to Me Too, but they're also the Queens of Horror. Shauna Hill, the Italian Stallion, Kung Pao Rina, Luscious Lillian Stevens White, Queen Lisa Jedkins, Little Pale Girl Emily, Sarah Gilbert, Sheila Broflowski, everyone's favorite mom. Summer Payne, Vanessa, Victoria Beckham, Mel B, and Emma Burton making their debuts in 2023. They are also known as the Spice Girls, ladies and gentlemen, making their debut as a new faction coming in 2023. And we do have another female who was added just today, and it is fantastic. Fantastic. We are very much looking forward to having her and joining along with her two younger brothers will be none other than, are you guys ready for this? I hope so. All right. And later. ladies and gentlemen, making her debut to the roster, Samantha Sharp of the Sharp Family Singers. She was just added earlier today. So we have three exciting people from the Sharp Family Singers part of the group. Should be very exciting and very interesting. Very interesting to have more musicians on the roster. So Samantha Sharp joining the icons of the F4L on the Warrior Dream Warrior side of things into the musicians category. All right, and that's going to be our roster currently, and they're very excited. And you know what? I think it's going to be a great year. We got some new people coming to the roster. We got some new, challenges coming up. And I want to point out all of the epic dream matches that we could possibly see in 2023. And we haven't even have the full roster. I still have some open slots, and they're not all full yet. So there are going to be before 2023 hits. And there's going to be, I can tell you that the Rescue Rangers, which is a team of is Ranger Andy Blackstone and Ranger Rick Yellowstone. They are the Rescue Rangers. They're a new tag team that you guys can look forward to seeing. They're an original tag team. Should be interesting to see how they're going to play into things. I know you guys are looking forward to that, as well as I think also returning to action will be everyone's favorite creators from South Park, Colorado, by popular demand, Trey Parker, Matt Stone. The South Park Rangers will be returning as well. As far as more women coming to the roster back, we can look forward to probably seeing Lizzie Hale returning to action, as well as making her debut in 2023. None other than the UFC Hall of Famer, Amanda Nunes will be making her debut on the women's side of things, as well as, you'll have to wait and find out to find out who that is going to be. But we are always growing. We're always adding new and more exciting people every year. And we're honored to do so. So. And I started a graphic, and it doesn't even emulate half the dozen people that we have on a regular basis on our show. Or even parts of the people in which we look forward to meeting and greeting and so forth. And I got to say, there's a lot of potential dream matches that come from a lot of these additions on across the board. I mean, Jackson R. Scott has been the BA champion, has been one of the most dominant BA champions, in history. And we have the current reigning champion, Grayson Russell, who has not met Jackson yet in the ring. And I'm wondering when that match is going to happen, because it's only going to matter a time till that match happens. And Jackson is someone who, he's been on the show before. He's actually spoke about being the BA champion and whatnot. So I did want to ask you guys a general opinion on the Jazz and Sons Hall of Fame. We already know the female, who is already going to be inducted this year in 2023, as well as we already know the tag team. And they're very well deserving on both ends. The tag team going into the 2023 Hall of Fame will be none other than Scorpion and Sub-Zero, better known as Fire and Ice from our show. And we were the originators of the nickname, and Ed Boon liked it so much that he took it for himself. And we're honored to have inspired that. So, cool. But Fire and Ice are going into the Hall of Fame this year as being, a tag team that has pioneered our tag team division way back in the early days when we used to do the dream matches before it really became what it is now, which is a showcase of incredible people who do amazing things every day. And if you're wondering why we have groups like, you know, the Bullies in here and why we have, you know, so many, you know, Art the Clown and the Pale Girl and some of these not so nice people. Well, because remember, folks, it is wrestling. It is a story show. And you know, if you're going to have heroes, you need to have a great villain to go against. So that is partly why those types of people exist. Superman would not be Superman if he didn't have no one to fight against to show why Superman. Same thing goes for any of those other people. So that we also know. So we know that the Fire and Ice and the women for the women for the Dream Warriors going in this year is Saint Peggy Hannon is being inducted this year. My son and I both agree that, you know, it's very much far time for St. Peggy Hannon to go into the Hall of Fame. And so now we're left with a Dream Master in a faction that should be inducted into the Hall of Fame. So let me ask you guys your opinion on which of these Dream Masters do you guys think should be in the Hall of Fame? I think all of them have a very much a claim to fame. And when I talk about, you know, a Dream Master, when I talk about someone who starts off, you know, obviously we're talking about people who kind of put us on the map when we were doing dream matches. And, you know, when we first, you know, started the Hall of Fame, we kind of had a huge class, right? We had, you know, Bruce Lee was inducted. Supergirl was inducted. Christina Ricci was inducted. Both Peter Griffin and Homer Simpson were inducted the same first class because they were the first dream match we put together on YouTube. So it made sense that they would be in the Hall of Fame. We've had them come back once since then, and Jackson sent them back and back again. But, you know, we are always evolving over the years. And I think it's important to remember, no matter where we go, these are the kind of the characters who started us off on the YouTube show. So, you know, I wanted to give you guys some ideas and some people we're thinking of. One of them being Chuck Norris, American martial art legend, Chuck Norris. And if you're wondering, well, how is Chuck Norris not in the Hall of Fame yet? Well, sometimes we don't put people in the Hall of Fame because ultimately once they go in the Hall of Fame, we ultimately are not going to be able to pull them back out again. We feel that when you get to the Hall of Fame status, you shouldn't have to prove yourself to anyone anymore. You've already established yourself as a Hall of Famer. You've already proven your worth, and there is nothing left to prove. And Chuck Norris is someone who has been part of our show for a number of years. He's been part of the F4L for a number of years. He has also been part of multiple tournaments, multiple tutelages, think of those rivalries between he and Bruce Lee back in the early days, and then him and the Crow, Brandon Lee. And so when you think of a Hall of Famer, I think it's hard to not consider, you know, Chuck Norris not to be part of that discussion. In fact, I think you would have to include him by default. And you might have to say, well, why it took him so long? But partly that is because, well, you know, down the road, what if, you know, Chuck Norris wants to be part of the martial art tournament? And ultimately, we can't pull people out once they're back in. You know, we're not going to, you know, if we put Chuck Norris in the Hall of Fame this year, he won't be able to participate in our open MMA tournament that'll take place in June. And yes, you heard that correct. We have an open MMA tournament in 2023 on our Icon show. And in order to qualify, you have to be able trained in some type of martial art or even just straight up Greco-Roman wrestling and so forth. And you have to let me know that if you're not already on a roster, you need to let me know who you are and why you feel that you should be part of that MMA tournament. And I will then make you and build you, and you will be added to the tournament. We did it last year. It was a fantastic event. It was very popular. Had some great matches. We even saw a brother versus brother, which we knew was only going to be a matter of time. We might have saw that a couple times, actually. And in the end, our current reigning MMA tournament winner is, you know, our MMA icon, if you would, icon of MMA. That's what they win as a trophy belt. And that winner was Ty the Devil Adele of the Adele Boys. And by the way, they started on the roster this time last year. So that's kind of incredible, huh? They started out end of December, went all throughout 2022. And, you know, Ty won, the youngest of the Adele Boys, won the Open MMA tournament, even defeating his brother Mason the Hammer Adele. And a lot of people would have expected to see Mason in the finals, or even Anthony, his older brother. And I'm not saying either one of them, they were all tough and they all qualified. But in the end, in order for Ty to go forward, he had to defeat his brother and then a bunch of other people in the middle of that. And it was a well-fought thing. And as you know, we have no control over the matches of anything, including our MMA tournaments. With brothers like the Mena boys, Henry and Jairo Mena, who are very tough on their own right, they're very accomplished individually. Henry, by the way, congratulations to him. Today he added just another notch on his belt, and another championship gold medal around his waist, as he has again won another tournament. Congratulations to Henry Mena, who was, just absolutely continues to work hard and put all the work out, and also ends up, reaps the benefits that he gets is that he wins. And when you put the work in to achieving your goals and whatever, this is the things that happen. You win. And the Mena boys are very dedicated, very humble, and very, hardworking. That's why they get to those points. The Adele boys have crushed it outside of the realm either. I can't acknowledge, just the Mena boys. Henry's done a great job, and Henry is phenomenal. Jairo had a great year. And what's something also awesome is that, the Pitbull went and took some time out to talk to his classmates and kind of inspire other kids to kind of, step it up. And that's what leadership is. And that's what you want out of a dojo. You want people to lead the future into that direction. So great for the Mena boys doing that. In addition to that, the Adele boys, Anthony Adele has crushed it in another tournament down south. I think he won the, Pan games he won. So Anthony the Hunter Adele has been crushing it. And Ty the Devil outside of our realm has, shown why he won our Open MMA tournaments, because he is that, dedicated. Doesn't matter how big you are. It's about your work ethic and what you bring to the table. Grayson the Super Duck Russell has had, in real life, he's both, he's done really well in these tournaments and so forth. He's had to struggle with an injury not long ago, and he's already back out there. His work ethic, he did the smart thing, and now he's back into the thing. These new people who are going to be joining in 2023, Evan and Easton, these young men are tremendous athletes all around. Evan is really big on, learning a lot of philosophy and really intelligence. He's really smart. He knows a lot about the importance of, self-discipline. He also knows about the importance of culture. And, Evan is going to be, pretty hard to beat because he's very much a thinking person. He's trained in Greco-Roman wrestling, and he's pretty good at it. Easton is also trained in Greco-Roman wrestling, and they're probably about the same weight. I'm thinking him and Grayson and all of these young men, tremendous athletes. Sergey's going to be new to the roster. He's from Russia, and he's been, you know, he's a judo champion, and he has absolutely crushed it in that. He's another young man who has struggled through injury to get where he needs to be. And he's there. He's always putting the work out, and he always keeps a smile on his face. You know, Easton and Evan and Sergey and me and everyone, if you've ever competed, you know about the bumps and the bruises that come along with it. And basically, by the time you, you know, sometimes, I know for myself, a lot of the times I'll get injured. I won't even know I'm injured until, you know, maybe in the next day, because when you're in the moment, you don't feel anything. You continue going. You just, you know, you hit your head and you keep going. And then you realize, well, wait a minute, I hit my head, and, you know, you don't realize anything. You don't actually know how hard you got hit because you're in the moment. You don't really feel the sense of pain, so to speak, because your adrenaline is rushing so hard. I can tell you that from experience. Football, you know, and also on top of that, you know, you heard a lot of athletes who are putting a lot of work in. A little bit all of the entertainers and the actors and the musicians and whatnot. If you're dedicated to something, no matter what it is, it's important to channel that, harness it, and continue going on it. And I said it before, a lot of people will look at you the side eye, why are you doing that? Why are you choosing to do that art? Why are you choosing to do that activity? And the easy answer is it's none of their business. You can do whatever you want. But ultimately, you know, most people want to be nice and they want to be respectful. I get that. But people in general will try to look at you side-eye because not everyone has this work ethic. No one even knows what it's like to grind. I think it's interesting that there was a reality show called The Grind, and I think that's interesting because when I was doing the high school wrestling and stuff like that, our coach would constantly have us, you know, recite various things, and we felt the grind. He would also refer to it as the grind, and of course, the name of our wrestling team at that time was the Men at Work. It was different than the other sports teams for our team. The name of our normal team was the Presidents, but for our wrestling squad, it was a little different. Our wrestling squad was the Men at Work, and it was because we're constantly grinding, we're constantly working, we're constantly, you know, continuing to go forward, and that's kind of what that's about. But there are so many elements and so many things that go into becoming, you know, great at what you do. This time, commitment, injuries. It's about being smart about what to do when you get injured. It's about how to be smart about what matches to take and what not to, when to travel and when not to, what risks are worth it. Ultimately, you know, it's funny. I had said on the show here when I was talking about the future of MMA. Remember I did the show about where I focused on the future of, you know, the UFC or the future, you know, fighters of the world. And when I was talking about that, I had said that the only way for one to truly become good is by challenging someone who they believe to be the best. You can't become better by continuing to face the same people over and over again. Here's the thing. When you're going to meets all over the place, all of these events, right now is Saturday. Somewhere, guarantee, somewhere there was some type of an event, some type of a tournament. And in fact, I know there was because I already saw people did well there in those some of those. And they're not all the same place. But here's the thing. When you take that time and when you put in those tournaments, there are many fights going on at those events most of the time. It's important to be vigilant to all of those matches, not just the ones you're in and not just the ones your teams are involved in or your dojo or your whatever. it's important as a whole to pay attention to the entire experience, because what I'm going to tell you is a little fun fact. Eventually, you're going to face someone from one of those other places. And then also, the time may come when you're going to have to face one of your closest friends. And then you have to ask yourself, am I responsible and respectful enough to be competitive, but also to continuing to have my friendships? Whenever you compete at these events, I talked about, traveling, right? You meet people who come from all over the place, all over the region. I'm from the Northeast. And when I would compete, I went all the way down to Florida, just Georgia. I went up and down the East Coast. Didn't really go out west, really. As far west as I went, it's probably maybe Jersey, maybe. Is that considered west? I don't know. I don't go west, really. Haven't really been too far out that way. But I've been up and down the East Coast. So nothing out west or Midwest or anything like that. I would have loved to have, but just, when you're traveling like we traveled with my sensei, and I drove with him because my family was interested in martial art tournaments, nor did they have the ability to go. My grandmother had already made arrangements that I would have everything I needed long after she had passed, and because she knew how, I was dedicated to my dojo because it gave me a purpose and it gave me a drive. It gave me something to work for. And also it gave me respect where I didn't get that at home or anywhere else. And that was kind of what it was for me. I liked the fact that I was respected, and I was also someone who people looked at as someone who's, the person to try. That I enjoyed. But here's the thing. I have to warn people about that. Because when you get to be that level, and when you get to be that athlete, when you get to be that competitor, you absolutely need to be worried for everyone to come in for you. Because there are going to be people like myself and like the future athletes who are going to be coming to look for you. They want the best. They want to fight. The only way they're going to get better is by challenging someone who is supposedly tougher, or someone who is, ranked differently. You can't continuing to, if you face the same people all the time at these events, you're not going to get better because you're not learning anything from that experience. Even if you win over and over again, or if you trade wins and losses with the same person, the only thing you do know is the person you're constantly facing. But what you don't know is, what about the person after that person? What about the, because there's always someone who is waiting, is someone who's hungry to take that spot. But I can tell you, as prima person who was someone who they hounded, I was someone who they sought after to face. Now, when we were younger, we had weight classes, but that didn't matter to me. We didn't go by weights. We went by belts normally. And when we did freestyle tournaments, in the freestyle tournaments, there was no set kind of a, ranking system, because when you're freestyle, basically, you were just, paired with someone who was your belt. That was all it was. And once you're, in people who are into this various different things you're trained in, because then that's competitive at least, because, that would be an open, but hence the name freestyle. I think it's kind of easy to understand, but to people who've never, done any of these things, it probably is very hard to understand. But it does take a lot of dedication, a lot of hard work to get to wherever you are in life. I played soccer for 4 years in high school, and I played 1 year. I decided it was a great idea to try to do both soccer and American football at the same time, Now, soccer, again, I'm being cautious to the American audience because that's what we know, Americans know football as. But to be fair, I do know it as football because my coach was from England and he did train us and taught us all about, you know, proper football etiquette and so forth. And I got to tell you, I used to get into heated debates with people, and it's not because I didn't respect them as athletes, and I respect everyone who's an athlete. I respect everyone who is willing to put the work in no matter what it is you're going in for. I don't care if you're a cheerleader, football player, baseball player, basketball player, volleyball player, golfer. If you're dedicated like that, tennis player, and you're committed to your goal and your team and you're passionate about it, then I'm all for it. I'm respectful to everyone who's willing to do that. And I'm also supportive of those things. Go for it. But what I won't put up with is someone who undermines something else like they think they know it so much better, because ultimately, until you've actually done the activity, you really can't talk about what it is to something else. I've done American football, and I've done, you know, what the world calls football, what America calls soccer. And if you're going to ask me which one is harder, well, American football, you tackle each other, run people over. But here's the thing. You're wearing, you know, pounds of pads on top of that. And in soccer, you don't have pads. You have shins pads if you're lucky. You don't have a helmet in soccer. You don't have any other type of padding like you do in American football. So as far as the tackling goes, that's what American football has. Other than that, soccer is nonstop running. American football is plays. So they start, play, run. And then you also break it up into squads, your defense squad, your offense squad. Your kicker will come out to kick. Your punter will come out to punt. Your receiving team, the offensive team. In soccer, it's just you're either on the team or you're not. You're on the team or you're, you know, an add-on or, you know, exhibition talent, I guess you'd say. But regardless of that, it's nonstop when you're playing football, soccer. In all honesty, if you're wearing all the pads and the helmets, all that stuff, that's going to weigh on you eventually. Which is probably why in American football, in soccer, you don't have a lot of pads, because if you had to run up and down the field all day like that, you'd probably burn yourself out pretty quick. Actually, I can tell you would. it's a lot of running, soccer. A lot of endurance is football, is soccer. So, you know, that'll probably explain why there's not a lot of pads, but also because, you know, you're not intending to knock someone over. You're using your feet. You're kicking the ball. Of course, there is a thing of a slide tackle, which I'm pretty decent at, I got to say. And those are legal. That's a legal, you know, soccer maneuver. That's when you try to kick the ball away from the other person, trying to get it away. And that's completely legal and completely fine. As long as you stick to the realm of it, you don't try to kick the guy's shin, because you're talking about a spike going into a guy's leg. You know, cleats are not a comfortable thing to get kicked with. It's kind of like, think of it as tiny little, blades on an ice skate. That's what a cleat basically is for soccer. They can be very uncomfortable. I can tell you that from experience. It's not comfortable at all. And you get a shin pad if you're lucky. Because again, you kick a lot. So people are going to kick you in the shin if they're trying to get the ball once in a while. That's why you get the shin pad. You wear a cup if you're smart. Also, I highly recommend it. Don't be a tough guy and don't think you're above it. Cause trust me, it'll happen eventually, like any other sport. Also, I have to answer a question that someone asked me via email, in pro wrestling, if they wear cups in pro wrestling, where they wear cups in every other sport, including regular Greco-Roman wrestling. The easy answer is no. Not generally do we wear cups in pro wrestling. because generally speaking, the only time you'll probably do that is if, in fact, your spot's going to – well, no, I got to be honest with you guys. I've never seen someone wear a cup in pro wrestling. If someone is worried about taking what they call a nut shot or a low blow, so to speak, that's a good, that's a spot that you know is probably going to happen, then, you know, maybe you could prep for it. But I honestly have never seen anyone use a cup in pro wrestling. And I know as crazy as that sounds, but we're also talking about people who take great chair shots to the head. So in retrospect, I'd have to say that that shouldn't surprise you too much, that there's none of that. Once you have knee pads and elbow pads in pro wrestling, because, you know, you're constantly landing on your knee or your elbow and so forth. And yeah, those, it's not just for show. That's a smart thing to do, actually. And I do recommend people, you know, use those things. Safety first. In all honesty, when I competed in the freestyle tournaments, we didn't have pads. There was no pads involved. It was points in, or, you know, went by points or submissions or whatever the case may be. The various different events, depending on which events it was, it went by the points or, you know, tap out, knockout, whatever. And, you know, sometimes you'd have to have a tournament where you have to go through several different people, which, again, is another tip for people. Again, when you're in such a situation, pay attention to everyone at those events, because you're going to have to face them eventually. And don't think you're don't get overconfident, but be confident. Know what, you know, be confident in knowing what you know, but also be respectful of the fact that you don't know what they do. If you watch them long enough, you can figure it out, which is what I did. I'm curious if any of the anybody who's ever done any kind of sports or anything also looks at it like chess, like we were trained to do. In all honesty, any sport, any game, I always see it as a game of human chess, trying to figure out how to win, how to do the best strategy to conquer your opponent is kind of the idea of sports in general. Also, someone asked me if I believe in the participation trophy. Hold on. And the easy answer to that is no, I don't think I do believe in a participation trophy. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the reason why you compete in sports is to learn how to how to achieve your goal. And if you're continuing to, if people give you something to give you like a booby prize, as we used to call it, that's actually what my coaches used to call them. When we never got those in our dojo, nor did any of my, in my school, we never got such things either. Any of my high school sports, we never got participation trophies. You either earned it or you didn't. So, and there were 700 trophies to give out either. So, but in retrospect, the reason why you compete in sports or any in general to compete is to win. And if you're giving someone something just to show up, well, what did they have to do? Why do they have to do anything at all if you're going to give them something anyway? So if they do win, they get a trophy. And if they don't win, they get a trophy. That's not really the message you want to send, because basically it makes it sound like people who, you know, train really hard and absolutely crush it on in an event, or it doesn't matter what kind of an event it is, whether it's sports or entertainment or whatever, but someone who takes the time and energy and whatever into, you know, working themselves into becoming the, you know, the winner, the champion of the whole thing. And then here comes this guy who doesn't put the work in, obviously, enough, and comes in dead last because whatever the case may be. Why should he get anything for that? Because you just, that basically undermines what the winner gets. If you give everybody a trophy for the fact that they just did something, then no one really, then the trophies are, themselves are nothing. The competition is a joke. It's basically, oh, just show up and we'll give you a prize anyway. That's kind of defeats the purpose of trying to win. Why bother? You should be going to get a trophy anyway. And I don't think that's quite what coaches and what really you want. And I know that might be a very controversial subject. I know there are people out there who may disagree with me that you feel that a participation trophy is a good thing. But I honestly, the question was asked to me by someone if I believe in them. And no, I don't. I don't think they help anyone. I think they, first of all, they undermine the winner, the champion of the event, whatever it may be, whether it be sports or entertainment or whatever else. It undermines the winner, and it makes it like they're just as important as the winner is. Just because the winner might have a bigger trophy, the fact that you don't have to do anything, the work ethic, or, you know, you sit there and twiddle your thumbs and get the same, you know, award is bogus. So, no, I don't believe in the participation trophy. I think the only way for us to get better is by work ethic. If you fail, you know, yeah, it stinks. No one likes to lose, but you take a lesson from that. You go back and you see what it is. Why did you lose? Were you slow? What did they do to get that win? And then here's what I'm going to give you. Here's what I would do if I'm in that scenario. If I was in a tough match, for example, in wrestling or martial arts, and I was to get a loss, and to be fair, I had one draw on my record. I talked about this before, and it haunted me all the way until I retired from competition. Haunted me. That draw took place when I was 10 years old. I started competing when I was 5. I had a draw when I was 10, and I retired from MMA and freestyle tournaments when I was 18 years old. So another 8 years I competed to try to get to feel better about that one draw. That bothered me because I don't know who win or lost. I didn't win or lose, and that bothered me. And I never got a rematch because I'll tell you, if I had the opportunity – first thing I would do is try to face that person one again in the next event. And unfortunately, that dojo shut down not long after that tournament, and the young man never did martial art tournaments again, anywhere again. So, lucky ducky me, it never got rectified. And here's the thing. That's something that I would encourage people to do. Because if you get a loss from someone, yes, it's humiliating. It feels bad. I get that. You take that loss. You get yourself up. You dust yourself up. You lick the blood off your lip. You stand up and you say, okay, good match. You shake their hand and you say, I'll see you next month. And you do it again. And then go back and watch the whole fight on tape. I'm sure nowadays, especially with social media, everyone records everything anyway, as I mentioned before, that I don't always agree with, and I mentioned why before. But go back and see what happened. And again, this can be applied to anything that you lose in, any kind of a competition. It could be sports, dance, acting, singing, whatever. There's always going to be someone. If you do get a loss, challenge the person who won or the person who beat you. Go look for that person and go face them again, because this goes back to the old, you know, falling off the horse scenario, right? If you get a loss, it's humiliating. It feels bad, I'm sure. It must hurt a lot. It's your pride. You know, you feel disappointed in yourself. But what I would always encourage people to do, and I used to do it, I used to tell people this all the time. You chalk it up. Yep, you lost. You shake the hand of the person who won. You say, I'll see you the next week or next month, whenever it is. And you face that person again, because you cannot give in to that self-doubt. Because if you were undefeated, or if you had a really good record before you faced that one person, And because of that one loss, you know, you let that play games in your head. And that's something that I know happens. Trust me, I know. But it is important you listen to me when I tell you, no matter what happens, if you lose, you get up, you shake the hand of the winner, you tell them, I'll see you next month, or whatever the next time you get to face each other again, and you sought out to get that match again one more time. Go back and watch everything you did. I guarantee you your performance will be better because you cannot let that fester in you, because that doubt that you self-planted on yourself will haunt you. I got a draw, and it still bothers me to this day because I didn't win or lose. I just got a draw. And I'm telling you that from experience. So there's that. So we've talked a lot about various different things. You know, I want to talk about some films real quick. It is the holiday season and all. So we always have those movies that, how many people have ever been in the scenario where a friend or a relative or someone will talk about a movie so highly, like, this movie is the greatest thing since rice pudding, this is wonderful, or you hear all of the hoopla about some big movie or some big TV show, and then you get to see the movie or TV show, and you're like, oh, that's it? And you don't feel it as enthusiastically as they did. How many people have been in that scenario? Well, I can tell you I've been in this scenario plenty of times. You know, one of my favorite examples of that is The Exorcist. A lot of people believe that to be the scariest film of all time. And I saw The Exorcist. And for the people who it scared, I'm sure it did a number on people. And my aunt, who was around when that movie first debuted, who, by the way, is not into horror movies, she would tell me stories about what it was like and what she remembered of the theaters back in those days, the people going and passing out and all these things. And I personally, you know, so you hear about the supposed scariest movie of all time, this horrifying movie. And then I got to see it, and I'm laughing at various parts because I have a very wide sense of humor and, you know, a sarcastic sense of humor and whatnot. And I don't know if it's dated well enough. I don't know if it's a special effect. I don't know if maybe it's because I've done all the research about the event itself and whatnot, or the fact that I don't particularly, you know, find the subject matter to be horrifying. But I don't really know what it was about The Exorcist that, for me, I finally saw The Exorcist, and I thought it was, I honestly considered to be one of the funniest movies I've ever seen. I classified it as a horror comedy. And my, you know, other people look at me like, what do you mean that's a horror comedy? That's a scary movie. And if you watch, if you talk to people, they'll tell you it's one of the scariest movies of all time. Not to me, it isn't. Well, same thing goes for holiday films. Have you guys ever heard of a holiday film that you hear a lot about, then you get to see it, and you're like, oh, that's it? And also, how many times have you, you know, watched a movie when you were growing up, or when we were younger, and then you go back to watch it again as you're older, and you're like, why did I like this movie? Or does the opposite happen, where you saw a movie as a kid, you're like, oh, I hate this. And then you can't. Then you watch it as an adult, like, oh, this is a great movie. I've been fortunate enough to have a few different experiences on these things. I was so dead set against watching Cobra Kai because from what everyone talked about, I didn't think I was going to be interested in Cobra Kai because, you know, when it first came out, it was going to be on YouTube. I'm like, what do you mean it's going to be on YouTube? And now it's on Netflix, which is great. And then also the fact that, you know, it's supposed to be, you know, Daniel Russo is the villain and, you know, Johnny Lawrence is the good guy, and which is interesting because it was a concept I thought about a long time ago when I talked to William Zabka years and years ago. I had said, you know, I don't know so much if you guys were really the bully. I said a lot of the times he was instigating a lot of the issues that you guys would have. But nonetheless, when Cobra, but then one day I said, oh, well, we better see what this is all about. And it came available on Netflix, and I ended up binging it. And then I became enthralled with it. I love the story arc. I love the fact that they can take a film that we all think we know about, and just like I always said, there's always that grass is the greener of, you know, you don't know the whole story all the time. And so I thought, you know, I was surprised by Cobra Kai. I thought I was not going to like it. I actually loved it. But on the same side, everyone tells me about, you know, Sons of Anarchy was another show people were big on. My family and I used to debate all the time about what was more hardcore, Sons of Anarchy or The Walking Dead. Of course, I was a Walking Dead guy. I watched it almost every Sunday. And then I got to, if I, you know, got home from bowling, it was, you know, customary to watch the newest episode of Walking Dead. Did I always watch The Talking Dead after? No, because that's a little bit overkill. But I watched The Walking Dead. It's an entertaining show. It was different. It was gritty. And, you know, I had a challenge with my cousin one time who was, you know, older cousin now. Well, younger cousin than me, but I said, well, tell you what, you watch an episode of The Walking Dead and I'll watch an episode of The Sons of Anarchy. We'll find out which one's more, quote, hardcore. So I watched an episode of, you know, Sons of Anarchy. Unfortunately, it happened to be the last episode of Sons of Anarchy. And it was just how it, you know, it literally was going to be the next episode that was going to air was the last episode of Sons of Anarchy. And what year did that go off the air? Well, by the way, The Walking Dead just ended this year. Just a few, not long ago, did The Walking Dead just end. Actually, about a week ago, a couple weeks ago, The Walking Dead ended. So I guess that's another feather in the cap for that. But I'm not going to say that, you know, it definitely didn't lose its steam over time. It definitely also lost its fanfare as well. I think it went from being a show that, you know, was kind of dominated the whole social media scene so much so that they needed a TV show to talk about the whole episode afterwards to avoid everything that was happening on social media and whatever. So I think that's what the purpose of the whole Talking Dead thing was. It was to, you know, celebrate those particular kinds of things. But in general, that's what's going to happen. That was something to happen. But I happened to watch the last episode of Sons of Anarchy, and, you know, it was, you know, there was some swearing and some violence. I can't say it was anything more than I haven't seen on The Walking Dead. So then it came time for him to watch an episode of The Walking Dead, which was, you know, just airing that Sunday. And, you know, just when they went to, well, I think it was Alexandria, that camp thing. And, you know, the first scene, the guy got his head bashed in with a baseball bat. And then he got his head kicked in and then Rick shot him in the head. It was a violent episode. What you've come to know of The Walking Dead. And that was just, you know, how it was. But I'm willing to give, you know, TV shows a chance. Then, you know, you have those. So going back to the whole movie thing, I was, you know, disappointed in, so, you know, hearing, you know, The Exorcist was something supposed to be the scariest thing of all time. I didn't find that scary. But yet, on the flip side of that, a movie that I never really thought I was going to get into and that I put off for so long was a film that I actually watched and I was actually an extra in as the little kid. And that, of course, was Good Will Hunting with Robin Williams, Ben Affleck, Matt Damon. Great movie, Academy Award winner, whatever. But I never watched the whole film as a young – I was – first of all, when the movie came out, I was very young. I was a teenager. So I wasn't really into that whole idea. Then I watched it, and it was a great film. So I guess the moral of this kind of little thing here is the fact that, you know, you sometimes have to give things a chance, but also expect that you're going to have your own opinion. And what I'm going to let you know is that's okay. It's okay not to have the same opinion of other people. And I say that because I don't want people to feel like, you know, just because you don't like something that everyone else in the world does doesn't mean it's wrong. There's something wrong with you. It just means that's not your cup of tea. I have tried multiple times to try to watch Stranger Things that everyone talks about. I can't get into the show at all. And I've tried. So, you know, I'm sure people love it, and people tell me all the time is how great it is. And, you know, I respect it. I've been fortunate enough to, you know, meet and talk to several people from the show. But I don't really, you know, not into the whole thing. I don't get it. I don't like it. It's not my thing. And when you look at the concept of it and what it's about, you would think it would be right up my alley. I like movies that, you know, are period pieces, especially set in the 80s and whatnot. It wasn't my cup of tea, and that's okay, you know. And it's okay that people like the, you know, when I had, you know, Norma Jean on not long ago. Norma Jean, of course, has her podcast, and, you know, she has her podcast, and we had her on the show. She made a good point where, you know, just because it's not one person's cup of tea, it might be somebody else's. You know, everyone's is welcome to their own opinions, you know. And, you know, that's one of the things that makes it great about, you know, movies and cinema, is the fact that you can like certain things and it's okay. I don't think that necessarily fits into sports. I think that some reason, you know, sports are not celebrated like that for some reason. For example, there is an unwritten rule that you have to cheer for this team because you live in this area. And I don't agree with that rule. I think that if you, just because someone or a team plays in your state doesn't mean you are delegated to like that team. I think that you should be entitled to choose whatever team you choose to cheer for. I've often felt that. I think that's something that should be the case. In pro wrestling, people come from all over the world and people cheer for the same people who don't necessarily live in their hometown. Of course, when they come home, it's a, you know, warrior, it's a hero's welcome normally. But in retrospect, people around the world love The Rock, but, you know, he's world famous. He could go anywhere and be well-loved, but not everyone, you know, there's no such thing as someone not liking The Rock because he lives in Tampa or Hollywood or whatever. You know what I mean? It's a kind of a bogus rule about sports that I don't agree with necessarily, that you need to feel the need to cheer for the team because they happen to live in your town. Unless you're playing for the team and have someone that you're related to playing on that team or whatever, then I feel that you should be entitled to cheer for whomever you choose to cheer for. It doesn't matter. It's just a game. It's just a sports thing. People get very, very, very passionate. I get that. But you know what? You shouldn't give someone else a hard time because they, you know, for example, I live in New England, and I don't like the New England Patriots. I think they're a horrible team. And they've won 5 Super Bowls. Okay, great. I'm a Cowboys fan. I've never lived in Texas in my life. Never even been to Texas. So what does that go to say? It's because I enjoyed at one point, I liked, you know, the team, the layout. I'm a big fan of, you know, the early stages anyway, and the fact that they did that whole dynasty thing early, before the Patriots did. But regardless, I don't discredit people who like the Patriots just because they like the Patriots. But, you know, I think by the books, because I live in New England, I'm supposed to cheer for the Patriots. No. And the same thing goes for the Red Sox, the Bruins, the Celtics. I'm going to cheer for whomever I choose to cheer for. And my wife and I, we encourage our kids to make their own decisions as far as those things, which is why my son likes the Bucks, the Milwaukee Bucks. He's never been to Milwaukee, but his favorite player, Giannis Antetokounmpo, is on the Bucks. And he likes Giannis because he's a different kind of a cat. don't know what else to say about that. But then that and the fact that when he figured out how to say his name, I think he was very proud of himself. So I think that's partly what it is. But also, I think Giannis is a pretty decent, role model, I think. He came from a different country. He works really hard. He has a great work ethic. He's all about being humble and being for his team and stuff like that. Do I think that if the right money came about that someone offered him money, he would go somewhere else? Absolutely, I believe he would do that. But, whatever. My son chooses to chill in Milwaukee. He chooses to cheer for Milwaukee. I like the Chicago Bulls. I've never lived in Chicago. I got friends who live in Chicago. I got friends who live all over the place. So, it doesn't, but that doesn't stop me from going to a Celtics game if they're playing someone and having just as much of a good time just to sit there and enjoy a game. I don't need to be a clownfish and act like a fool when I go out to one of these events. I can be passionate and cheer and boo or whatever. It's all about being respectful of other people around you, really. It's okay to disagree with whatever the team is. It's okay to not like the other team or to like the team that you're supposed to be there for. It's just, all about being respectful of the other people around you, and that's just how it works. That's the F4L way. Love, care, compassion, understand, respect for each other's differences. There you go. So there is that. So people have been asking me, Jazz, we haven't seen you. You haven't done a podcast all week. Where have you been? Well, long story short, I've been sick most of this week. I got a little bit of a regular cold, but I was able to get some orange juice in me pretty quick and get the water and orange juice and whatever and the tea. And rested a lot, which I'm not happily about, in all the other proper things. I exercised a lot, and I stayed healthy. So, hence the word, I am back to my own self again. Maybe a little bit of a nasally voice right now, but I've also been talking a lot. This is the most talking I've done along all week, because I haven't done a podcast till here. I did have the show on YouTube where I did that, which was kind of cool. Got that done. And currently the show on the 24th is coming up next week. So Christmas Eve on YouTube, you guys can watch some new exciting, the last official show of 2022. And also, again, I want to remind people that at the last, on the 29th, I'm thinking, I'm going to have a watch-along event right here on the F4L Headquarters podcast. Some of our stars come in, and we're going to watch some of the best of 2022 has to offer. And we'll see who comes in, and we'll have a chat about. And I know we have some upcoming guests coming up anyway. Reminder, we have Richard from the Hellman's book series, Hellman on Modern Truth book series. He's going to be coming in. Richard Bourne is going to be coming on the podcast on January 4th at 4 p.m. Can't get more epic than that. And we also, before that, we have the Nightmare Noah, the Nightmare Heimdall coming on probably during Christmas vacation week. So it'll be cool to have him on. And chat with him, and maybe he'll be joining us on the 29th for the watch along, and we'll get the United Kingdom and people from all over the world, international headquarters on that night, watching along our shows. So it should be fun. That'll be fun. Also, we're going to let you guys know when it happens. We'll announce. My son and I will be doing the Jazz and Sons Hall of Fame announcements for 2023. Now, what we're going to do is, we'll obviously announce who we're inducting and why we're inducting them, but also when the new system comes up, and the new game software comes in, and after all the other people are built, the names you've heard and the mystery people we're still waiting to slot fill in, once that's done, I'm going to be building the Jazz and Suns 2023 Hall of Fame, their images and their likenesses throughout the arena. As we find, that's a great way to show tribute to all of those Dream Masters and Dream Warriors who helped us get to where we are. So that'll be one of our first arenas, is the Jazz and Suns 2023, you know, Hall of Fame. So that should be cool. We already know Fire and Ice will be, you know, be inducted, and St. Peggy Hannon are being inducted. So we don't know who else yet, but stick around and watch. Well, folks, we're not going to go too much longer, but I do want to say congratulations to everyone who had an epic weekend again this weekend, and to everyone who is out there and absolutely crushing all of their goals and their dreams and whatnot. I'm very happy and proud of all of everybody. I am happy for everyone to be who they are and whatnot. Also, just a reminder, go check out, again, go check out Easton's fundraiser to see if you can help raise money for their, you know, wrestling trip out there so they can take advantage of that. If you can, you know, if not, you know, give it a like, give it a share, and, you know, do your part on that end. And make sure you remember that all of our upcoming stars of the F4O will be continuing to grow, and we are, and we're going to be adding more exciting people as time goes on, and I'll be announcing them, and hopefully they'll be joining us here on here, and we look forward to it. So there's that. Guys, I'm not going to be on much longer here tonight, as I am getting it ready for my son to get here, because he's coming after work, and we're going to chat about various different things and whatnot. And also, coming up with the next couple weeks, I'm going to be giving you guys some long-awaited information for the epic event known as the Jazz and Friends Expo. So I'll be bringing you guys those details within the next couple weeks. So make sure you stick around and whatnot. So we got guests coming on eventually, and we're going to have all kinds of other fun things. This has been a live edition of the F4O Headquarters podcast, Saturday night edition. What I'd like to do real quick before I let you go is I want to have a moment of silence in memory of, you know, we lost a lot of people in 2022 in general, a lot of heroes to a lot of people and whatnot. And I feel like it would be discredited. It would be disrespectful not to remember those people, but also remembering all of those who've had anniversaries that we just celebrated or non, you know, depending on how you look at it. For example, this week we mourn the loss of comedian legend Chris Farley, who died, you know, multiple years ago, but still today, you know, years and years later, he's still an icon, and he's still someone who, you know, you wish you could have seen do more and so forth. And I recommend people who want to get a better idea of what the man who Chris Farley was, go listen to the Fly on the Wall podcast by David Spade and Dana Carvey, two guys who obviously, being SNL, and of course David Spade especially, can tell you more about Chris Farley and why he was so important as a cultural phenomenon and as a person. And also, it's sad that someone, you know, that young, you know, this transcends all over the place. This is a message that goes all over. And, it, you know, every year, every week, we always add more and more people to the roster of those people who were gone too soon. This show, we try to keep positive, but I think it's important to realize and recognize that the grass is not always greener on the other side. No matter how successful someone appears to be, money they may have or how much success they have, everyone can struggle and everyone can have a hard time. And it's okay to ask for help. And it doesn't make you weak. And I encourage people, if you're ever having an issue, to reach out to people who you know you can talk to. And there's, I guarantee you there's someone who is willing to listen to you. And heck, if you don't have anyone immediately who comes to mind, feel free to reach out to me and I will be your ear. I will be your shoulder if you need it. I would much rather be a shoulder and, you know, help you through a dark time rather than you do something that would be make a lot worse, let's put it that way. So it's out there. So let's have a moment of silence for just a few minutes as we mourn and we pay tribute to those we lost in 2022 and those who we missed and those who unfortunately have transcended into the legend iconic status. Well, folks, I am the Afro Icon, Sean Jazz Stevens. I am here, and I'm always here. And I always encourage you guys to make your weekend epic. I hope you guys have had an amazing time here tonight. I look forward to coming back to you guys on Tuesday for Talking Tuesday and all the other fun antics you will have coming up. And we'll be having some guests coming and all kinds of other fun stuff planned. So, in the meantime, everyone, may all your dreams come true. Peace from the FOL headquarters. I am your FOL icon, Sean J. Stevens, saying, may all your dreams come true. Peace.